morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 19, and so if you want to turn there, I know that I figure probably this title probably got a lot of people thinking and wondering and relating to society today, and that was kind of the idea that I started out with was what our society looks like today. But that's really not where the passage led me. And so we're going to get into that. But I want us to understand that any time that we read from the Old Testament, we need to understand that that is what God did at that time in history. He kept in His Word to teach us and to guide us today so that we don't make the same mistakes. And so that's one case. The other case is when something has happened in the Old Testament and it's not kept to keep us from making that same mistake, but maybe it's there also to cause us to do something that was right that they did. And so I know if you're thinking, wait, we're talking about Sodom. Is there anything that happened right that we could do? But that's that silver lining, you might say, of a terrible, terrible storm cloud. And so if you would, we'll start reading in verse 1 in chapter 19. It says, "Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.' So Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, 'Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let them me bring them out to you that you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof.' And they said, 'Stand back.' Then they said, 'This is the one who came to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with him, with you, than with them.' So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door, but the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary in trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, 'Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because of the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it.' So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, 'Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city.' But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city.' And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hands, his wife's hand, and the hands of his daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we look at this passage, and there are things that we do not understand. But Lord, we know that you are here, and we know that your Spirit can reveal to us what you have for us. So, Father, I pray right now as we go through this passage that we look at the things that you would have for us today, that you would guide us and lead us. Lord, strengthen us. We just pray right now that you just bind Satan and we hear what you want us to hear. Take away the distractions, Lord, that we might be what you want us to be today, that we might honor and glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen. We often talk about the things that go on in Sodom and Gomorrah is generally tied together with the two. This takes place in Sodom here. We talk about that, and we talk about all the things that it was like before God sent down that fire and brimstone to destroy it, how terrible it was, and how God had, with Abraham, had looked. And Abraham had talked to God and said, if you can just find 50 righteous people in that town, and this is not a small town, this is a fairly good-sized town, but if you can just find 50 people, 50 righteous people, don't destroy it. And God said, okay. And we know the conversation that Abraham had. He talked his way down to 10. Said, God, if you can just find 10, will you still destroy those 10 along with the others? And God said, no, he wouldn't if he could find 10. And so we know that he was not able to find 10 because he's going to go ahead and destroy the town. And he does that. But I want us to look at Lot, because for some reason, Lot was drawn out. And if we take the passage, if we take the scripture, the only way that we can understand that Lot would have been brought out was that Lot was righteous. Now we know, if we read the passages before this and the passages after this, we know Lot was not perfect. We know that Lot had some things going on in his life that he made the wrong choices. He did the wrong things. He's no different than us. He's not perfect. But obviously, if we go back to, I'm going to jump back real quick. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to jump back to 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses here that kind of tie us into the character of Lot. So I'm going to start in verse 4 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter. It says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, commended them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." Lot was a righteous man. He was tormented living in that ungodly society. Was he perfect? No. We can't judge what makes a man righteous. Righteousness only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, this was pre-blood of Jesus Christ, so how does that work? The blood of Jesus Christ is something you and I can't understand. But when he died on the cross, that blood was retroactive. It took care of those that had faith in God. Where Abraham was a friend of God and Noah was a friend of God and all of those that had faith in God, the blood of Jesus Christ would cover them. We don't know how a person could look at Lot's life and what happens to him and say, he was righteous? Well, then I'm doing okay. Because some of the things he's done never crossed my mind. Some of the things that will happen to him, some of the choices he will make in his life, we're not there. But there are people today that if you look at Lot, and the Bible says that he is righteous, he was righteous in the sight of God, and he was tormented daily because he's living in a society that was ungodly. There are people today that are religious, that are tormented because we live in an ungodly society. But that doesn't make them righteous. The only thing that's going to make a person righteous is grace through faith in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, his blood covered my sins. I am still broken. I am still a sinner. I still make mistakes. I still do things that slapped the face of God, you might say. But because my heart has been given to God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, for no reason that I deserve, grace has been bestowed to me, and God looks at me as righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. His righteousness for being perfect, being that perfect sacrifice, has covered me, has washed me. It was imputed, it was credited to my account, though I never deserved it, never will deserve it. Lot was righteous. Lot may have been religious. We don't know. But religious doesn't matter, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were religious. And Jesus says that if your righteousness does not surpass those, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Righteousness is the only way. So let's look. How does a man like Lot, who we've established as righteous because of what the Word of God says, how does he live in a society like that? How does he survive? How does he make it through on a day-to-day basis being tormented? What does he do to live in that society? First off, we have to go with what we just talked about. He was righteous. He was right with God. How do we know that? It's going to tell us. We're going to look at four things here, and through these four things, we're going to see the heart of Lot. I want us to look today at ourselves. Now, there are religious people that are going to do these same things. But like I said, that doesn't matter. If they're doing it to be religious, if they're doing it to fit in, if they're doing it because family members do it, that doesn't matter. We do it because we are righteous. Righteousness is right standing with God. My heart has been given to God. I have asked Him to forgive me of my sins. He has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, like that verse that we read said. We need to understand that being righteous is going to cause some things to happen in our life that are going to come naturally. We're going to look at them, and we can see these things, and we can understand where Lot came from. So let's look at the first one. He spoke up. He lived in a community that was ungodly. We just get a glimpse of it in these verses. But when Lot went out there to talk to them, they said this. They said, this one came in to stay here. He was a foreigner. He was a sojourner. He was a traveler. He was not from there. And if you moved into Stockton in the last 40 years, you're just a sojourner. You're just a foreigner to Stockton. That's just the way it works. I'm sorry. Some of you have been here 50 years, and you still feel like you weren't born here, so you're just a sojourner. And that's kind of the way they're looking at Lot. He had been there for a while. But they said, this man came to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Think about that right there. Why would these ungodly men of Sodom accuse Lot of being a judge? Why is he always judging us? Well, how many times do you hear people say, all you Christians want to do is judge us? All you ever do is say that this is wrong and that is wrong, and you're judging me. I am not judging you. I am just trying to tell you what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it's sin, then it's sin. If you're doing it, I'm not judging you. You're judging yourself because you know what the Word says. You're just taking it out on me because you can't take it out on God. That's what it comes down to. But he had obviously talked to them about their lifestyle, and they said, man, he moves in here and he's trying to tell us, he's trying to judge us. Why would he do that? Because as a righteous man, and he's living among filth, you've got to call filth, filth. So if you and I are going to claim to be righteous, right in the standing with God, I am in right standing with God, and again, we're not perfect, but if I'm going to claim that, and I see this as being wrong, I have to say something. Galatians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 1, says, if one of us, or if one turns away, you who are right should restore them gently. If you know somebody is doing something wrong, you are supposed to help them. You're supposed to let them know the error of their ways. Ezekiel says, we are watchmen. If you see somebody doing something wrong and you don't warn them, then their blood is on your hands. If you warn them and they don't pay attention, then it's on them. You and I have to speak up. I don't get into politics very seldom ever, especially not up here. But if you're not going to vote, then you're not speaking up. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm not telling you, you know, which side or whatever. That's not the point. The point is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you better stand up and speak for Him, because there are enough people that believe in the devil that are going to stand up and speak for Him. So, if you're going to be righteous, Lot, the only way he could live in that filth is to call that filth, filth. If you and I are living among that filth, then we have to call that filth, filth. Well, I'm not doing it, so it's not bothering me. It may not bother you, but let me tell you, your kids and grandkids, it's going to bother them. If it's not important to you, it will be irrelevant to them. Lot spoke up. Next, let's look at what he does. He stands up. They're banging on the door. They're screaming. And Lot went out through the doorway and shut the door behind him. He went out and stood out by himself. He was facing an angry crowd. Not just an angry crowd, but an evil, wicked crowd. A crowd that was wanting to do things that just are unspeakable. But he's willing to take and step out and shut the door behind him and take a stand. That's what we've got to do. Because they're knocking at our door. It's probably not going to be very long before somebody preaches a message like this, they're going to be in jail. It happens in Canada right now. But the bottom line is, if we don't stand up in the small places, then the big places, we're not going to get a chance. He was willing to come and stand, shut the door behind him, and speak up for what was against what was wicked, for what was right. Are we going to do that? Are you going to stand up? Now, that's one thing when we get a group of people to stand up. But he didn't have a group of people. He stepped out on his own in the midst of the wickedness. Now, did they listen to him? No. Did they just give up and go away? No. They're still trying to bang on the door. And get this, I read this in this passage and it had not dawned on me. Even after the two angels blinded them, what did they do? They still tried to find the door. Even though the power of God was against them, they were still trying to do the wicked things. Even though this man, a righteous man, had the power of God at his back with these two angels, and they cast him all to be blind, they're still trying to find the door. Because their wickedness, that's all they knew. But he was willing to stand up. Because who was in that house? His family and what was right in God's angels. You're only going to stand up if you care about what's behind that door. I am only going to stand up if I care about what's behind that door. But surely somebody else will do it. So he spoke up, he stood up, and then he reached out. The angels told him, said, "Had you anyone else, son-in-laws, daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. And if there's anybody you care about, you tried to change that crowd and it would not change. So you need to reach out to those people that you care about." Did they listen? No. But too many times we think, okay, as long as I'm in here, I'll shut the door and that person that I care about, maybe they'll come running to my house and I'll let them in. The angels said, go out and talk to them. Reach out to whoever you have that you care about. Reach out and talk to them. Where did he have to go to reach out to them? Out into the city. Where are we going to have to go to reach out to those people that we care about? Out into the world. Because otherwise, they're not coming. So he reached out to others. They refused to listen. In all that he did, as this righteous man in a city of filth, he spoke up against the evil. He stood up to do what was right. He reached out to others that they might come to be safe, that they might miss that judgment that's out there. What else? One last thing. The angel told him to take everybody you have and leave. And he hesitated. Why in the world would you hesitate? Here's a righteous man. Surely a righteous man would not hesitate when God says do something. Well, I'm not going to call for a raise of hands, but every hand in here that of a person that has given their heart to Christ, I guarantee you every one of us has hesitated when God has said do something. But I praise God for the times that He would not let me hesitate to a point that it hurt, to where He's willing to take my hand. And so you're saying, oh, well, right, you know, Lot was righteous, but God had to drag him out. God may have led him out forcefully, and there's times when we need to pray for that. We need to pray, God, I need you to lead me out forcefully. Because there's times when I don't want to go. I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, and if it had still been up to me, I'd still be a youth pastor. I love hanging around with these guys. But God said, no, I'm going to drag you somewhere else. And I went, and I love it. And I'm glad I'm not in this situation. Because God said, I'm going to lead you out, and don't look back. I'll be honest with you. Probably in the last 2 weeks, I've looked back. Man, I love being a youth pastor. I mean, these jokers come and hang out in my yard, ringing my doorbell, putting sticky notes, like 12 sticky notes around my house. You know, Jesus loves you. All these Bible verses. I love it. And I thought, man, that's so much fun. And the bottom line is, I'm not looking back to go back to that because God has led me somewhere else. But too many times, we are so hesitant to go where God leads us that it rips us apart because we want to stay where we were. And I'm not talking about spiritual ministry here. I'm not talking about following in the ministry God has for us. I'm talking about when He calls us to leave something. Leave that behind, and I want to lead you somewhere else. Lot's wife couldn't do it. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Lot had everything that he owned in that town. He had come there. He had got to that point with everything he had, all of his family, everything was there, and he's leaving with his wife and his two daughters. And everything else was there, and God's saying, leave it. How hard would that have been to not look back? His wife didn't do it. But Lot was able to obey what God told him to do. There's times when God says you need to leave what's behind you, because it only leads to that filth. There are times you need to leave some things there that maybe were good things. His house, his flock, whatever he had, all the things that he had. There were some things that probably weren't bad, but God said, I want you to leave it and trust me and don't look back, because I don't want you to have anything to do with what is connected to that old life. Too many times we're so connected to that old life that what if we just stay at the outskirts of town, God? We can't do that. Lot, a righteous man, is living in filth in Sodom. And you and I, whether we want to, some people may not call it this, but we're living in a society that is without God. And we're living in a society that's trying to replace God with a God that is not the Creator. They talk about a Jesus that's not the Jesus, the Son of God, that died on the cross. We have to understand that if we're going to live in this, just like Lot had to live in Sodom, God calls us to live in this world, but not to be of the world. He was not of that city, because he spoke against it, he stood up against it, he reached out to those that were lost in it, and when he was finally told, God took him out. When he did, he didn't look back, because he knew what was ahead of him was in God's hands. We are living in a society that the only way we're going to make it through is to be righteous. And the Bible says there is no one righteous, no, not one. It only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we're going to make it through this. That crowd outside the house, they weren't righteous. They perished in that city. Lot, the righteous man, God brought him out. The same way those two angels were sent to Sodom to rescue this one righteous man. One righteous man. He sent the angels for one. Well, he would have sent Jesus for one, too. Because he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for just you. For just me. For all of us. But he would have done it for just one. The same thing needs to happen. It's not something I try to do. It's not something that I will be better off if I do. But it's because of what he's done in my life, because of what he's done in my heart, because he has changed my life, I will speak up for him. I will stand up for him. I will reach out for him, and I will follow him. My prayer is that we mean everything I just said. Because there is no way out of the city except by the hand of God. Lot would still be in that city if it wasn't for the hand of God. We are in this society, like it or not, and the only way out is by the hand of God. Pretty heavy? Pretty weighty this morning? I could have told you that was coming. Not because I knew what the sermon was, because it's not what I wrote down. But I know that because I saw and I felt too much opposition today. I want us to understand there's only one way out. Now, as Christians, we know where the end of the tunnel's at. We know that we win. We've read the end of the book. We know we win. But we're still here in the city right now. So we've got to do those four things. But there are some that haven't come to the understanding of what really righteousness means. What it really means to accept Jesus Christ. What it really means to give their heart to Him. It's really simple. It's believing in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Asking Him for forgiveness for the sins that you deserve death for, because He died for them too. And to give our life to Him, to speak up, stand up, reach out, and follow. The only way out of the city, the only way out of the situation is through the hand of God. Christians that speak up, stand up, reach out, follow, it's not a do it if you want to. It's a must. It's not something I try to do. It's something that by the power that we sang about this morning, that's the only way it's going to happen. By the grace of God, by the mercy of God, and by the power of God. Because you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. It comes down to allowing the power of God to do those things through us. I'm going to close with this. If you're out here today and you're listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no reason to walk out of these doors back into that city without hope. All you've got to do, even if you don't understand everything I've said, just come and talk to me, talk to somebody else. Give them the opportunity to just share with you what it means to ask Jesus Christ into your life. And Christians, we're running out of time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We just thank You for Your Word. We just ask that You would be glorified now in the decisions that are made, in the hearts that are changed, in the lives that are changed. Lord, nothing we can ever do can we do apart from You. We have to have that power, that grace, and that mercy. So we ask for that right now, that Your Spirit would move among us and help us to make the decisions that You want us to make, that we might honor and glorify You. We thank You and we love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.